Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Welcome to the first Ghost Rap of May. In theory, this is when you should sell and go away, as the old advice goes. And of course, we'll have to see what happens on the markets for the rest of this year to see whether that is true. But in the meantime, let's cover some of the big stories from the JSE over the past week. And the first one is Glencore, which is certainly a deal machine of note. This 1.3 trillion rand market cap commodities giant has been built through a history of deal making, risk taking, and some unsavory behavior. The Teck Resources Board in Canada pointed to that behavior when trying to get Teck's shareholders to ignore Glencore's advances. It hasn't actually worked in the end, with Glencore's perseverance and open letter to Teck's shareholders clearly having an impact. Teck's board has withdrawn its separation proposal, which was the deal that Teck had on the table for its shareholders before Glencore went swooping in and spoilt that party. So this is an incredible example of how perseverance and large checkbooks are the two best ingredients for deal making. Teck's board will likely now engage with Glencore to see if they can come to terms that the board would be happy to recommend to shareholders. Now, of course, Glencore has happily reminded Teck that even if they do not come to terms, Glencore will go directly to Teck's shareholders if necessary. There is every chance that this still takes the route of a hostile takeover, something I'm selfishly quite excited about. I don't have a horse in this race, but hostile takeovers are fascinating beasts, and there is always so much to learn from them. But being Glencore, of course, they aren't exactly sitting on their hands elsewhere either. Teck is literally a transformative deal that would require a merger and demerger of the two groups to create a clean metals business and a dirty metals business. But that doesn't mean that Glencore isn't finding other smaller deals that are also appealing. Small is a relative term here because the latest deal is worth over $700 million. And what does that buy you, I hear you ask? Well, it buys you significant minority stakes in an aluminium refinery and a bauxite mine in Brazil. Glencore is pushing really hard with its so-called transition metals strategy, showing us the power of having a platform of this size. But of course, it is the Teck deal that would really move the dial if they can get it right. Speaking of mining platforms and transition metals, we move on now to Anglo American, where the latest numbers have been boosted significantly by the copper production numbers out of Quellaveco. It has come on stream recently, so there are no numbers from that asset in the base period, which certainly helps, of course. To give you a sense of how important this project actually is to Anglo, a third of copper production in the latest quarter was thanks to the Quellaveco asset. One of the most interesting things about the update was the extent to which commodity prices have dropped off in dollars on a year-on-year basis almost across the board. In case you thought that all PGMs are the same, for example, platinum is down 1% and rhodium down a whopping 32%. Iron ore, that's down 27%, which is also not pretty, of course. And then we get to metals like copper down 3%, nickel down 6%. So these sort of transition metals have actually been quite defensive over the past year, and you can understand why groups like Glencore, Anglo American, and others are moving into this space. Now, before you completely panic about the mining industry, just remember that many of the operations are found in emerging markets where those currencies have depreciated heavily against the dollar in the past year. So the economics at mine level, where of course the costs are in local currency, not in dollars, tend to still stack up even though the commodity prices have come off so badly year on year in dollars. Sibanye-Stillwater has announced that the Finnish Minerals Group, which manages the Finnish state's mining industry investments, will increase its holdings in the Keliber project from 14% to 20%. In short, the government of Finland is supporting this lithium project properly, following its rights on an outsized basis here by injecting 53.9 million euros out of the current capital raise of 104 million euros. In other words, they are putting in more than half the money, even though they have a small shareholding at the moment of just 14%, which will now grow. Sibanye will hold around 79% in the project after this, and minorities will hold 1%. This is another very good example of the investment taking place in transition metals across the world at the moment. We now move on from mining, but back to the fascinating world of mergers and acquisitions, or M&A as it is often called. Capital Appreciation is a very interesting local tech company that gives exposure to the themes that investors tend to pay huge multiples for overseas. Sure, there's been a wobbly or two along the way for this group, but the core business is solid. They also know how to do really smart deals, like the acquisition of software business Dariel Solutions for 131.2 million rand. The first thing that makes this a smart deal is the way the price has been structured. The split is 46.9 million rand cash, 38.4 million rand settled in equity out of treasury shares, and 45.9 million rand in potential earnouts. The second thing I like is the way that earnout has been structured, with EBITDA measured over a two-year period, and that takes some of the volatility out, and they need to demonstrate a compound annual growth rate of 20% in EBITDA in order to justify the full earnout, and that's a solid rate for a South African private company to achieve. The third thing I like about this deal is that even the earnout has an equity and cash component to it. So Capital Appreciation is doing a great job here of using its listed platform to maximum benefit. And finally, I think they've paid a decent price here. A price earnings multiple of 8.1x on a trailing basis, based on the full earnout being achieved. In other words, if I take last year's profits and I apply the full potential acquisition price to them, that price earnings multiple of 8.1x is perfectly reasonable for a fast-growing private company, especially in the IT sector. Capital Appreciation's market cap is 2.1 billion rand, so this deal is not exactly a case of betting the farm either. Overall, I must say, well done to Capital Appreciation on an acquisition that seems to tick all the boxes. Of course, it all comes down to execution and how this plays out in practice. MTN Nigeria has released results, and that is very important to the MTN Group story. The challenge in these African markets is that profits can be generated, but the cash gets stuck in that country due to lack of foreign exchange. Of course, there's an argument to be made that if the cash can never be repatriated, then there's actually no value here. MTN did make good progress over the last couple of years in repatriating cash from Nigeria, but there is still a long way to go. And in the meantime, at least, revenue is still growing strongly in the country, the latest quarter reflecting revenue growth of 20.5% and EBITDA growth of 17.7%. So yes, there's some margin pressure there, but just hang on. It's nothing compared to what happens further down the income statement. Depreciation is up by 23.4% after a period of significant capex for MTN Nigeria. Then we have net finance costs. Those are up by a magnificent 42.2% with a tough macroeconomic environment in Nigeria that has seen the monetary policy rate in that country increase to 18%. Now, although net debt to EBITDA is only 0.2x, which means overall debt in Nigeria for MTN is low, the year-on-year trajectory means that earnings per share is up by just 3.8% in the region, and that is not a pretty story. CapEx dropped by 25.8%, and whilst it is tempting to immediately assume that MTN is pulling back here on expansion, a detailed read of the announcement puts that theory to rest. The real reason for the drop in CapEx in this quarter is because of supply chain challenges, and MTN does expect investment to pick up again over the rest of the year. They will need to be careful here because MTN Group may have a balance sheet that is in far better shape than before the pandemic, but they certainly cannot afford a situation where debt runs away from them in Nigeria and they potentially have a cash flow problem in country. And of course, with Nigeria's macroeconomics looking so tough, repatriation of cash is not going to be easy. As a quick and final update this week, Prosus is still selling Tencent shares to fund the share buyback program that is currently underway. After implementing convoluted structures that even my old fourth year examiners at Wits would run away from in fear, the company is now doing something simple and sensible. By selling down Tencent and buying back its own heavily discounted shares in the market, Prosus and Naspers are creating value for shareholders. Of course, that value gap only exists because of all the bad decisions leading up to this point that created the huge discount in the first place. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.